Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a little boy, growing up in northern Minnesota, my parents attended a very large Lutheran church, the old Evangelical Norwegian Church, called First Lutheran Church, probably the biggest church in town, and it was big. But we attended it every Sunday. And every Sunday I would be in church, and then I would go to a Sunday school class. Then we'd go home, have dinner, the noon meal, and then I could change my clothes, go out and play, or do whatever I was going to do that day. And so it went. It was an every Sunday occasion. My grandparents were there, my aunts and uncles later on, cousins. But then a few years later, we had moved to southern Minnesota in another town, and we attended what was at that time the biggest Lutheran church in the old American Lutheran Church, one of the groups that joined together to make the ELCA. And we usually attended the third service, which was huge. I mean, every pew was full. And the service would begin with adults, the adult choir, processing, probably 40, 50 people, down the center aisle, followed by the pastors and deacons. They always sang the same hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. I love that. I always have. Anyway, and we'd go home, have dinner. I could change clothes, go out and play or do homework, which happened occasionally, usually by mistake, or read or do whatever I was going to do. That was Sunday, every Sunday. Now, if one of us kids was sick, my dad would take us, because he could drive, my mother couldn't. So she'd stay home with whoever was sick. We'd come home, she would usually have dinner prepared, even though she had a sick kid to tend to, and then the usual routine. Change clothes, do whatever. You know, I was looking back on it as I studied this text, and I don't recall any particular rules, but they must have had rules in both churches, the same ones, because every Sunday, all the men, every one of them, wore a suit or at least a sports coat. The women all wore dresses, and they all wore hats. My mother did that. I never asked about it. It just seemed like this is what you do if you're an adult. But there must have been some kind of unspoken rule about that. You wear your Sunday best on Sunday when you're going to church, have your dinner, then change your clothes. Back then, there were no malls, and every store downtown was closed. Occasionally, you could find a gas station that was open, or an ice cream store, and buy ice cream. But otherwise, that was it. You want something to do? You invent your game yourself. Played a lot of pickup hockey, a lot of touch football, a lot of softball on those Sunday afternoons. And interestingly enough, our games were joined by kids of all denominations. Lutherans, us, Missouri Lutherans, Lutheran Church of America, Lutherans, others. Baptists, Catholics, Methodists, Presbyterians, they were all there joining into the games. Now, there might have been people who were strict on a Sunday, but I didn't know them. And I don't think I knew anybody who did. That was our Sabbath, every Sabbath, year in and year out. Now, you know, the Sabbath, for us Sunday, was meant to be a day of freedom, a healing balm for the Israelites. Because when they were in Egypt, they worked 7 days a week, long hours every day, and basically they were worked to death. The Egyptians practiced population control by working them very hard. Hard enough to die. Now, when Moses led them out during the Exodus, he went to Mount Sinai, climbed up the mountain, was given the Ten Commandments. And we know that story. Coming down, they were worshiping a golden calf. He got very angry, broke it. Eventually, he went back up and was given another set of the Ten Commandments. The third one, you all know it, right? What is it? Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. I know you learned that back in Sunday school. For some of us, that's a long time ago. Now, I had to make sure I knew it as a pastor, of course. But now we learned Luther's meaning. What does this mean? We are to fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching or God's word, but instead keep that word holy and gladly hear and learn it. Now, Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. You know, there's a lot of traditions, not only Christians, but Jews and various others, and they have their holy days. For us, as well as Jews, it's the Sabbath. The only difference is their Sabbath is Saturday, ours is Sunday. Now, some Christians also have their Sabbath on Saturday, Seventh-day Adventists, for instance. And we have a service here every Saturday that they're putting on. But the point is, you've got all these traditions. And even in Jesus' time on earth, when he was physically here, we would find that we have crippled ourselves by ideas, by rituals, by traditions that in earlier times brought life, but then got to the point where they're no longer bringing life to the community. Instead, they brought rigid obedience. Now, let me ask you, what if that rigid obedience to the rules of tradition actually blinds us to God's reign in the world? What if we spend so much time on rules that we don't listen to what God is saying? You know, we got to post the Ten Commandments in the schools. God didn't tell us to do that. And frankly, I think it's a terrible idea. My opinion. But people are blinded. They have to do this. This is what God wants. No, it's not what God wants. Again, God didn't tell us to do this. God has something else in mind. Because healing is not a work. It's a grace. And some of the things that we are doing in the name of Christianity are works. They're works righteousness. They're designed to get us into heaven, but that ain't going to work. You know it as well as I do. The only thing that will get us into heaven is grace through faith. That's it. The rules, they're made to be broken. There's just a couple rules that we need to keep. They're actually laws. They're God's laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Love your neighbor as yourself. You do these two things, you don't need the Ten Commandments because you're doing the Ten Commandments by loving God, by loving your neighbor. Everything covered. Everything is in that loving God, loving your neighbor. You can't break a commandment because you're loving God, because you're loving your neighbor. It's impossible. No, it's really impossible for us to keep them that tightly. But that's the idea. That's what we try to do. We try to love God. We try to love our neighbor. As you've heard Pastor Scott say, as you've heard me say, as you've heard Pastor Mike say, as you've heard probably every pastor who's ever been in this pulpit say. Love God. Love your neighbor. It sounds so simple. And it is. The problem is we create all these rules that get in the way of loving God and loving neighbor. They're not God-given. Years ago, that might have been helpful. Now they are a hindrance to doing as God would have us do. Synagogue leader was upset because Jesus did a healing on the Sabbath. But as I said, healing is not work. It's a grace. And why shouldn't a woman who has been bent over, unable to look up, unable to see the sky, unable to see the stars, why shouldn't she be healed? And what better day to do it than the Sabbath? Talk about praising God. You're doing God's work. And the woman who was healed begins to praise God. And the synagogue leader is speaking to the crowd. You can't do that on a Sabbath. It's works. But then Jesus tells them they're hypocrites. Which one of you with a donkey or an ox does not untie it and take it to water? Well, if that ain't work, I don't know what is. It'd be work for me, I can tell you that. What does God require of us? What does he want from you and me? Act with justice. Act justly. To love mercy. Love mercy. And to walk humbly with God. That's what God wants. That's in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Again, it sounds so simple. And it is. But we get in the way of ourselves. We can't seem to do it. We come up with all these reasons, these rules, whatever it happens to be, that get in the way. Sometimes rules are made to be broken. Now on that Sabbath, so long ago, Jesus took the initiative with that woman who was bent over, unable to stand up straight. She didn't ask to be healed. He simply healed her. Woman, you're healed. And she stood up straight. Jesus brought her back from the margins of society and restored her to the center of the community. And Jesus used language of being in bondage and being set free. That's the language of the Exodus. Being in bondage and being set free. And of course, the Exodus is when the commandments are given to Moses. And the third commandment began to be honored. To give the Israelites a day of rest when they were told, you will do no work. But that was to rest them, to restore them, to heal them. The Sabbath was a reminder to the Israelites that God had brought them out of bondage. The Sabbath, dear friends, is a reminder to us that God has brought us out of bondage. Bondage to sin, to death. We have been set free because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, that we might be living free, able to walk humbly with him. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about how easy it is to console somebody in pain or whatever. Console them to be patient. You want to be considered reasonable, don't you? But those things really don't affect those of us who are giving the counsel. That's why I don't think you'll ever hear me do it. Be patient. You know, the one who's giving that advice, the one who enforces the rules, what seems so reasonable to them? But it's really not. It's just adding to the bondage. Yes, sometimes we have to take into account the virtues of a rule. But divine compassion always, always, always overrides it. Divine compassion shown by Jesus in his care for this suffering woman is and should be our model. Her healing depends neither on her faith nor on the faith of others. She wasn't lowered through the ceiling. She didn't ask to be healed. Jesus simply did it. And it's worth noting that those who promise miracles to others, on TV or otherwise, if they only pray more, pray louder, give more, are not following Jesus' path. It's as simple as that. Where Jesus is, the kingdom is. And Jesus' ministry to this woman, as well as the other things that he did, gives us a foretaste of the coming kingdom, of the reign of God, when the world will be remade. And when we, that's you and I, who live by grace through faith, will be with him in the city of God. Think about this for a moment. Our faith grasps the future as though it is the present. We who live by the grace of God through faith see the future, live the future right now. Amen.